Let's pick a text while you are still standing. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, 2 verses 8 and 9. Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 for a text. How be it then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that you have known God, or rather known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His word. God bless you. Be seated. And my exhortation, I've titled it, The Spirit of Bondage. Let's face one spirit. And I got this inspiration from a text message I received, and the same day also another sister also came to me, wrote something to me in the same line. What is it? Is that they are in a church. You are in a church, and you have seen reason to leave the church, but you are not able to leave. You are a member of a church, I repeat, and you have seen a reason to leave the church, but you are not able to leave. And you are asking Pastor Moses, what do I do? You need deliverance, because you are in bondage. What is the dictionary meaning of bondage? Bondage, the dictionary meaning, is a state of being enslaved. A state of lacking freedom. A slave. Slavery is another word for bondage. Because you cannot do anything of your own except of the master. So slavery is a bondage. Imprisonment is a bondage. Because you are limited. You are restricted. Your freedom is taken away from you. And so, Christians, true children of God, can be in bondage. And many are in bondage today. And that's why I want to say something. For ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. And I thank God that for every Bible question, there is a Bible answer. And there's no problem on earth without a solution in this Bible. And that is why we sang that song, our hymn number 30, the second stanza that says, my heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. He said, though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is what? Higher ground. But some will dwell where fear and doubts abound. Amen. Praise the Lord. I try to look at this bondage that Christians find themselves in. Among others, five areas stand out very clearly before our face. For those who like to jot down, number one, that is where a Christian can truly find himself in bondage. Because when you have now known your problem, then you can now think of solution. But let me say it, that when you come to Christ, you have come to freedom. Freedom to worship your God. Freedom to relate with God. First and foremost, your relationship with God is first personal before a group. Nobody is going to give account. Hallelujah. Nobody will account for you. You will give account of yourself. Before the throne of grace, before the throne of judgment, I mean to say, when every one of us will stand before Christ, your pastor is not going to speak for you. And can I tell you another thing? This question will not be asked by Christ. Which church did you belong? Christ is never going to ask you which church you belong. So if your pride as a Christian is the identity of your church, you have missed it. And that is the foundation of the bondage. It is presented to look as if, hallelujah, your salvation is tied to a church. No! If you ever think you will go to heaven because you are in bride assembly, I am loosening you now. You were in bondage. Nobody will go to heaven because you belong to bride assembly church. Because at the end of it all, when we are going before the throne of grace, pastor, how are you? There's no pastor at that time. There's no more pastor. I will say, I beg, go answer your own. And they go answer my own. Now, so number one bondage, praise the Lord, is the bondage to religion. I said there are five of them. Is the bondage to religion. What is it? Your family faith. Our family, we are Anglican. Our family, we are assembly of God. Assemblies of God. Our family, na Catholic, they bomb me. Our family. Now, why do I call it bondage? This group of people, no matter what truth you see, they will agree with you. What you are saying is true, but they cannot respond to it. No matter what you say, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true. Baptism is in the name of Jesus. Hey, this is this Bible. Oh, not true, not true. But our church, this is not how we do it in our church. Come, all this is why they preach. You want me to make a come up from Anglican Abbey? You cannot succeed. I will die Catholic. Bondage to your religion is the same thing. Bondage to your denomination is the same thing. Denomination is religion. It's religion. And why is it a bondage? Every prison house has prison walls that restrict you. And so, I say, what are the prison walls of religion, of your denomination? Every one of them, they even have it written down. When you come, they hand it over to you. They call it article of faith. They call it article of faith. We hear, this is what we believe. They will write it down. Write it down. Write it down. Church, you don't need article of faith. You need the what? You need Bible. Our faith, this is where our faith is. It is the faith of the apostles. If you extract anyone and write it down, what you are saying is that anything beyond that, you will not go beyond it. has become a bondage. Bondage, a very big one for that matter. I'm not showing you the areas of bondage you find people. And so you, who is not able to leave your church, to leave your religion, hallelujah, even though you have seen the light and you know you are in darkness, you know, because truth is truth. Truth is truth. You have seen the light. And you know now, by what you have seen, you are in darkness. But you cannot go out. It is a bondage. You are in a serious religious bondage. Because the Holy Ghost is dynamic. Revelation is progressive. The light shines brighter and brighter until that perfect day. Because you are with candle, you don't know that there is a flashlight. And because there is flashlight, you don't know that there is a floodlight. And because there is floodlight, you don't know there is a sun in the daytime that shines more than any flashlight. And so you are staying with the, how some people call it, achibalba. That one where they put, whether an engine oil they put. For one gogoni of, what do you call it? Nothing. No matter which breeze blow, you know they quench. No matter which what breeze blow, just keep it outside. Now they put for checkpoint for night for Nigeria. They just put it there. No matter what breeze they blow, blow. It's a light. Hallelujah. No matter how. You tell them there's better light than that. They say, no, our church. They are holding to the little light. For God so loved the world. They say, we have gone beyond that. Hallelujah. You have accepted Christ. What next? There's more to it. Hallelujah. I'm suffering from that bondage. May somebody see reason and be delivered from that spirit in the name of Jesus. The second bondage is bondage to fear that Christians get into. And what is that fear? Fear of effect, the effect of making a decision for Christ. The fear of the effect. Because everyone that will make a true decision for Christ, there is a cost attached to it. You are afraid of losing all. You are afraid that your mother, your father may forsake you. You are afraid that you may not get a husband. You are afraid that you may lose your job. You are afraid that they may kill you. Because there are some faith that if you leave their faith, Islam, if some they are fanatics, Islamic fanatics, they have verses in the Quran to hold on to justify, if you leave, you should not be alive. They'll kill you. For fear of dying, you remain in your religion. Fear. Hallelujah. But why will you have fear? You say, people are not afraid. If you notice something, let me make it clearer. Because, hallelujah. Why did Nicodemus come in the night? Somebody who is a minister. From one church, a worker, from one denomination near us. He came to this place because he watches us on television. The first thing he did was to meet, is it Obina? Meet Evangelist Obina. He said, please, I beg, this is who I am. If they see me say I come here, I am finished. So please, keep me where camera no go reach. I have been watching this station. I've been watching Bright on television. I discovered that everything they told us in our church is false. Please, I beg. Is there a way you can make me see any of the prophets? But nobody will know that I am here. Nicodemus spirit is still available. Nicodemus, they come by night. They hide to come. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But they know that there is a light there. They know. Amen. Why? That is the same setting. Christ came to give us liberty from every form of bondage. Christians, you are now a Christian. There is liberty. There is freedom. Hallelujah. There is liberty. There is freedom. In Exodus 21, freedom has been declared by every slave. But there is a law. If while you were in bondage, you acquired a wife there, your master gave you a wife, and you even have children from that woman, you get property, this freedom, it will cost you something. You will leave. Leave your wife. Leave your children there for your master and go out. Because now he give you. If he said, I will not serve you again, then you must be able to say, you may take the whole world, but give me Jesus. Not too many people can do that. So they made provision, because there are some that will say, no, I love my master. The truth is, he does not love master. There is no slave that likes slavery. No human being likes slavery. It is fear of what he will lose. So make a cuckoo continue to suffer here. Yeah. Fear. And it's a serious bondage. Because we have people like Paul who risk his life, risk his position. Why is Nicodemus not ready to risk his own too? The disciples told Christ, we have forsaken all to follow you. For them to say like that, they know what they mean. They have left everything. They left everything for a decision that you will make. And if it is a genuine decision, it must cost you something. I told you the story. I will continue because I can never forget that encounter with my friend. It meant so much to me. It meant so much to me. Because we are all there in the world, chasing women. Everywhere we are chasing women. And here am I, years ago, before this church started, normal Christian, but still on fire for God. And then I went to visit him in his office, and I met a girl there. He's a senior Air Force officer. I saw a girl there, and he was proudly introducing her to me as one of the beauty queens in the country, Miss something like that. Very pretty girl, young girl. When they go chase somebody's husband. So what is that beauty profit you now? Anyway, so I left them. I had to leave. And he escorted me to the car park. Then the girl also left, met us. Maybe we stayed too long. And she had to tell us, bye, she has to go. Dismiss her. And while she was going, he was admiring her from the back. And he turned and looked at me. Alu, see what you they miss now. It's true now. Am I not missing it? No, it's true. See, I have explained this several times. See, I did not Stop chasing women because women is no longer enjoyable. No. How you gonna say woman not enjoyable? Who don't like better thing? Don't think that the sister that dropped earring, she hate earring. She didn't hate it. Every woman loves jewelry. It's in their nature. So that she dropped earring does not mean that she hates it. She stopped trouser. Even though she be Christian now, she still carry pictures. She never tear those pictures. She still look and see, oh, wow, when I was. She's still admiring it. She still see young girls, her friends, wearing it. She's still admiring it. But see here, hallelujah. I answered him. I said, you are correct. See waiting. I don't miss. Because there is the law of opportunity cost. There is the law of opportunity cost. Hallelujah. Two beautiful things are standing before you, but the law says you cannot have the two together. If you hold one, you will have to forego the other. If you hold that woman, you have eternal life and that enjoyment. You have eternal life and those jewelries. So, will I serve Christ acceptably and go to heaven in his standard? Or, hold this one. If you decide to go that way, you will lose Christ. And if you decide to follow Christ, you will lose the women. The two cannot go together. See, that is a sacrifice. That is why there is a reward for it. Don't you ever think that now I'm born again. I hate it. You cannot hate it. Now lie. You like it, but you can't touch it. Hallelujah. And you know something? God does not take that away from you so that you'll be battling with it. Because there is a prize at the end. And you are supposed to earn it. That is the reward. That is why we are called overcomers. That is one of the things you overcome. The things that you drop for Christ, they'll be pursuing you. They'll be pursuing you. Even the nightclub that you don't go again to listen to those type of music, your spirit man still yoke to it. If you don't guide it very well, before you know what, where you enter like this, then the place of coming is before you know what, you know, your body they respond. Before you realize what you are doing, say, Kai, I'm born again. Nonsense. It's there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why so many pastors fall. They don't know the limit to go with the opposite sex. They don't know the limit to go. They don't guide themselves. And before you know what, that thing is still there. And before you, when you finish the action, then you begin to regret and regret and regret. Not only ministers, brothers and sisters. That is why we are to watch and pray. Then he said, walk out your salvation. You are to walk it out with fear and trembling. And then he said, he who thinks he stands, he said, take heed lest he fall. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But I want you to note, this is what Apostle Paul put into Timothy. 2 Timothy, let's read some scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Take note of this. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. When you are born again, the spirit of fear is not there. But he has given a spirit of what? Power. And of love and of a sound mind. The true elect of God, they are bold. And when I say bold, it's not just boldness to go and face demons. You are bold. And that is, you are so bold that you can look at sin and say, "You sin, you can't touch me. I have stopped this long ago. You can't touch me." You are confronting it. You are bold to confront it. Confront it with boldness. Lusting thoughts comes to your heart. Before what? The boldness is, you just can't say, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." God, that's nonsense. Not defiling me like this. Evil thoughts. What happened? I've left that a long time ago. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't let anybody discourage. One of the things, the boldness, the area of boldness you have is to face influences around you. There are influences around you, because Apostle Paul was saying that when he said you should not company with unbelievers, with fornicators, he said he's not talking about the fornicators of this world. He said that means you have to leave the whole world now, because we live among them. But listen, you have influences. A young child, a young girl, a young boy, you are in the school, you have your schoolmates. Even in the church, you have your mates. They call it peer pressure. There are influences all around. And the boldness there is, you are at alert anytime. And every man, every woman, you should know your weakness. Because nobody is tempted in this area of strength. Oh, you don't understand. Satan will come to tempt you in your area of weakness. Therefore, wisdom makes you to face your area of weakness and face it 24 hours of the day. Guide it. They don't come. I think I can say this since he said it to publicly. Our brother Maduka was giving us his testimony of him and his wife when they were doing courtship. In those days, he had his CD-125. How many people know that machine? You old, rich. Now we old generation, though. It's the equivalent of having Mercedes E-Class now. Mine, well, you know, you are proud. CD-125. Okay. So, he had his CD-125, they finished fellowship, and then he wanted to go and drop his girlfriend, his present wife. He said the woman was sitting behind her on the motorbike. He said suddenly they entered pothole. So he had to brake. And her chest hit his back. He tower. You know what I mean? He said, the woman said, stop. She came down. She said, "When did that begin?" They go. She decided to trek home. Hallelujah. When did that begin? She thought he did it purposely. So that... Now that is watchful. That's somebody that is watchful. You call, brother is insisting that you should visit him. Brother is insisting that you should visit him. And he's busy insisting that you should visit him. If you are watchful, you will carry your friend along. Even carry two. In case he's too strong, three of you will finish him there. Tie him and go out. That's how it should be. Know your weakness. You know, say your best drink before you got converted was Odeku. Eh? When they bring it from the fridge, it is sweat for outside. Your throat go dry. My. Hallelujah. Then your friend say, "Mukuna meet somewhere for one business meeting." Then they put it. The next thing they tell you is, waiting. Now just one. They will preach to you. The Bible didn't say we shouldn't drink. They say only we should not get drunk. Taking one bottle. What will it do you? And then the thing they sweat, they look you. You they swallow saliva. Always, you will be tempted in the area of your weakness. So you watch. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You face it boldly. Number three, bondage to sin. I told you there are five. Bondage to sin. This bondage to sin. What does it mean to be being bonded to sin? Such that you know what you are doing is bad, but you can't stop it. It has so overpowered you, you can't stop it. And it is in so many areas. Some, they are contrary to the word of God. Some, contrary to your conscience. Your conscience is pricking you. What you are doing is not good. Yet, you find yourself doing it. And Apostle Paul captured it in Romans chapter 7. Romans. Let's read it. Romans chapter 7. This is the way he put it. From verse 14. Chapter 7 and from verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. See the way he put it. For that which I do, I allow not. That is, I don't like it, but I do it. I am doing something I don't like. For what I would, what I like to do, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, and consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I will not, that I do. Now, if I do that which I don't like, I will not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I will do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. In your conscience, in your mind, in your spirit man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into bondage, captivity, to the law of sin which is in my members. And see his condition. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" There is solution. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, what Apostle Paul tried to capture here is the estate of one that is in bondage to sin. So you don't have joy. You don't have any lasting joy. Because you know that when your conscience is not clear, you can't even pray. I'm talking to true Christians. There are some that don't care. I'll shake it away, bam, bam, and clean up. And then before you know what, they fall under anointing itself. I'll tell you, it's grace. They will even justify it. They will try to justify it. You know, I'm talking about genuine. This message is to help genuine Christians. That's it. It's genuine Christians. Because a tear is a tear. There's nothing in him to change. I'm talking to people who truly want to serve God, but they are in one form of bondage or the other. May they be helped today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you do that, 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 19, call you a servant of corruption. A servant of corruption. That is who you are. Who are you constantly serving? Your master is sin. Your master is corruption. That is the estate that many of us, many Christians, find themselves. Bondage number 4 is bondage to money. Bondage to money. The love of money is the root of all evils. Can a Christian be in such bondage? Very easy. That's the easiest one. Especially those of us in the metropolitan cities, towns, not villages. Because every one of us that left our village to come where we are now, Where did bring you come? Not money. Hallelujah. Not money. It's a serious spirit. And it is there sharing your attention with the Holy Ghost. And yet, the Bible says, a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things that he owns. That is not where your life is. And then where a man's treasure is, that is where his heart will be. That is where his heart will be. Where a man's treasure is. See? And so, the quest to make money so much, and Jesus called it mammon. That is the name of that spirit. It is a mammon spirit. And he said, you cannot serve God and mammon. What he's saying there is that you cannot marry the two of them together. One must take priority. And unfortunately, Christians, that is the one that takes the higher priority. See, if I am preaching about holiness, people will sleep. But if I'm preaching about how to make money, wow, I will open chair with biro plus phone, the record. Let me not miss any point. How to make money. How to be great. And there are churches that organize such programs. And you see, thousands of people gather. What is it? The Lord has called me to raise giants. Financial giants. They go there. They even pay gate fee to go to such churches and attend the program. But come and let us talk. Speak about holiness. Just watch your neighbor by your side. He will soon sleep off. See? Hallelujah. Now, there's nothing wrong about making money, but when you give so much attention to that, to the detriment of your soul, that is where the problem is. That is where the problem is. Today is service. We have church service this evening. Midweek service this evening. Or vigil this night. You know when we gather, you will spend all the energy in your market. You will not prepare for the evening. Then by the time you reach house, nah, man, if you go service today, Why? Because I they come up very early tomorrow morning. Where they go? Get one market where I go. I don't say that. Don't say I'm attacking Igbo people because I say no. But they are the most enterprising group of people in Nigeria. They are the most enterprising group of people in Nigeria. If there's any business that you don't see an Igbo man doing it, there's no profit in it. If there's profit in it, they will take over. He'll bring the whole of his relations, they'll take over that thing and form a union. Before you become member, they give you condition. They can come to Yoruba land and take over Ladiko and tell Yoruba man, before you join us, you pay. Very enterprising. That's why they think they are Jews. Praise the Lord. Okay, but that's on a lighter mood. But on a serious note, this spirit has caught many of us. So much until the morning when you pray, you are praying for God to bless you financially. But when it comes to just even pay tithe from it, that is where you know that it don't catch you. Now, if I take this, give tithe now, if I add them to this capital, market will increase. Oh. Now, God, just, I will pay it. I will pay it later. People descend to that level. It's reflected in the type of offerings you give. It's reflected in how you respond with your finances to the things of God. That's the truth. You are serving mammon. Oh! If you see another group, this thing catch, you pity them. They work day and night. Day and night. And they are making millions. But see the kind of food where they chop. They prefer to keep that money in the bank. They look at. They look at. Go and see where they are living. He's living in room and parlor. He's living in room and parlor for Lagos. But millions are in the account. The only thing he will do is in his village for show off. He's not living in the village. He's living in Lagos. The longest time he stays is Christmas time, 4 days for village. He built it for the whole town to see he has arrived. But when he reached Lagos here, he stayed for one room. He did labor. He did labor. He did labor, labor. Anytime I see them, oh, I'll say, see bondage. Hey, see bondage. What gives you peace is the amount of money that is in the bank. And then, when you labor, 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 finish, you no go ride better car. You no go live for better house. You know they chop better food. Even cloth, you know they wear better cloth. So what is the money for? That is the question I ask myself when I see some of you. Some of you are in the church. And they see now, not be vision, no. And they see. Why will I not enjoy? Hey! Now money I don't get to. If I get money, I go enjoy. Ha! Ask my wife. If I say dash me 100,000, I'll call the whole family and say, let's go for a buffet. No cook for house. We'll go chop variety for somewhere. He said, what happened? I said, person dash me 100,000. Go take and enjoy. Say, what happened? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You are in bondage. Serious bondage. And you don't know it. Serious bondage. You won't take holiday. You won't go for holiday with your family. You won't. There's nothing. Nothing you are doing with the money. See, I am telling you now, I say it's a bondage to that spirit. The spirit is pushing, say, make the money, but you will not enjoy it. You will not enjoy it. You will not enjoy it. Make the money. Then, when did it finish now? Remember, you know the rest. Remember, you are hustling, you know they chop better food, and you know the rest. what happens? Your health will fail. And what happens? You die for nothing. And your children, how are you sure your children will take care of that money? Serious bondage. Look, enjoy your life when you are still alive. This life will not deliver them two times. There's a friend of mine that called me. He said, "Alu, you see that my property for so place?" He said they have valued it for 1 point something billion. He said, "See me here, I don't get money. I don't get money. We are age mates." He said, "Pata, pata, pata, if God pity us, we feel live another 20 years. He said, "So what am I keeping that thing there for? For this, my children, I beg you, don't find buyer. I want to sell them." My wife is aware of it. He said, "You sell it." And he was preaching to me. He was preaching to me. He said, "What happened?" He said, "Who? These children, Abby?" He said, "Are these children?" He said, "He has taken care of them. I beg, for this age where they now, this remaining 20 years, say now, enjoyment, enjoyment, enjoyment." He said, "Now him and God. God and enjoyment. God and enjoyment. God and enjoyment." He said, "For the next 20 years. Before he will die and go." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some people accumulated like that and the bank folded up. In Nigeria, it will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody say, "Mammon spirit will not hold me." That is the one that catches many of us. Say it and mean it. Say it. If you say it, your deliverance will begin. Call yourself. Call your name. Call your name. Say it. Mammon cannot hold you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's a song during offering that our musicians normally sing sometimes. Say, "All I have is given to me by..." You don't know, send a sermon and they preach with that song. When it's time for offering, "All I have is given to me by the Lord." Some during tithe and during offering. And then you will see somebody who has millions. You will find change, like you can say, "All I have is given to me by the Lord. All I have is given to me by the Lord. All I have is given to me by the Lord." Hallelujah. You are in bondage to that money, you don't know it. For it is God that giveth thee power to make wealth. He said, "Don't forget him when he blesses you. In all your ways, acknowledge him." Hallelujah. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Look at you now. When you are coming to church, you dress anyhow. But when you are going to a party, we know the kind of dress where they wear. It's true now. I say, where will you reserve your best cloth to wear? It's not to church. Before the maker that gave you the cloth, that gave you the health, you are coming before his presence. Then you go just look, carry one t-shirt, we have a body. The same guy, jam him tomorrow in Lagos Island. He is a suit. Plus, this handkerchief, what they know they use. For here, like, this one, what they know they use. Put on there like this. Plus perfume. Some of you, even perfume, you don't put before you come here today. It's wrong. You're in serious bondage. You don't know it. May you receive deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ. That is the bondage to money, the god of Mammon.